2021 is my year of lifting up, breaking out, and new beginnings. This is my year of divine lifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God has already lifted me up out of the miry clay of life onto the hilltops of destiny. And he feeds me continually with honey out of the rock. My glory and the lifter up of my head. He bears me up on eagle's wings, and he makes me ride upon the high places of the earth. I have been elevated to sit among princes. And I see upgrades in every area of my life. Every area. Not one area is left out. I am running through troops. And I am leaping over walls. This is my year of divine lifting. And there is a lifting up for me. This is my breakout year. And I've been set up for unprecedented success. Amen. There is a purpose for my life, and I will live and not die. Amen. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the victory that overcomes the world. Give me this mountain. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible for me. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of any man the great things God has prepared for me. And the great things God has prepared me for. This is my breakout year. And I have been set up for unprecedented success. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. No matter what the world says, Jesus will have the final say. My Lord saved the best for the last, and I shall not go out empty. This is my season of new beginnings and new wine. The best wine, the best life, the best miracles, the best destiny. My storage places are filled with good, and my vats are overflowing with the best of the land. Coming back to that stanza right there. I speak to dead bones, come alive. Rivers of living water flow out of me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And I will see the goodness of the land of the Lord in the land of the living. All things are working together for my good. And God is doing the exceeding abundantly in my life. My Lord saved the best for the last, and I shall not go out empty. 2021 is my year of lifting up, breaking out, and new beginnings. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen and amen. I want to go back to that part of it that talks about, you know, the best wine. Some new beginnings and new wine. But before I do that, you know, the Lord added one scripture for us in our lessons and teachings on prayer this year, that, you know, we have taken on. I tell you, just about every single day, even when I'm not thinking about this scripture, it just comes. It just bubbles up out of me. So those of you who did the assignment, but you have gone back and you have forgotten, it's time to go back and stir it up, right? It's time to go back and stir it up. The Lord gave us this scripture that is so apt. And he gave it to us in the place of prayer. But it is so powerful because when you look at all these confessions, this scripture guarantees these confessions, these words that the Lord spoke to us will come to pass in our lives if we will walk with it. If we will demand it, if we will expect it, if we will believe it. And so that scripture, Matthew 21, 21, 22, just keeps, but I don't know how many times it bubbles up in my spirit. I'm walking, doing my, minding my own business. And here comes Matthew 21, 21, 22. Hallelujah. I get this prayer point or this, whatever. Someone said, please join me. And I'm trusting God. I said, and right here he comes. Matthew 21, 21, 22. So if you don't remember it, take this week now to stir up again your spirit and your memory. Because this scripture, we have to get it. All of us have to memorize it. We have to be able to tell it without looking. I know you could do it like the first week after we started memorizing, but many of you have already forgotten. So I want you to go back now and start revising. this is so funny. There was one Saturday morning. The Pastor Tinu was trying to, show me how well she has this scripture locked down. And subconsciously, I started grading her. You know, she would go a little, go. I mean, she always got to the end, but there'll be one word or one phrase or something. So she went all the way from, we started from 70%. She got to 90%. She finally got to, I think it was a 99.2. I said 99.2. But you don't have 100% yet. She said, I got 100%. I know there's one word you missed. So grade yourself like that until you can get it. Matthew 21, 21, 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, if you have faith. What? What's that? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith. What did I say? Oh, I missed verily. I told you, I haven't done it in a while. It just comes. I'm telling you, I haven't checked this scripture in weeks. It just comes. So let's go again. All right. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall do not only this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things whatsoever you shall. I like that part. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So we believe our confession this morning. All things includes these confessions that the Lord gave us. These promises in this word that the Lord gave us. And he says, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. No matter what the world says, Jesus will have the final say. My Lord saved the best for the last, and I shall not go out empty. This is my season of new beginnings and new wine. The best wine, the best life, the best miracles, the best destiny. My storage places are filled with good, and my vats are overflowing with the best of the land. You do know the base scripture where that particular, a major part of that particular paragraph came from is John chapter 2, where the scriptures record the very first miracle, the wedding in Cana, where the Lord went to. And the Bible tells us the bride and the bridegroom were very smart because they invited Jesus to this wedding. You know, it's not just a good idea, it is the best idea to make sure Jesus is in your wedding. To make sure Jesus is in your boat. Yeah. To make sure Jesus is in your household. Yeah. To make sure Jesus is in everything. Hallelujah. Because no matter what happens, as you go, Jesus will always show up and walk. Jesus will always show up and walk. And he guarantees you the best. The best. You do know this story. I don't have time to read it all. So I'm not going to, because I have to minister a message today. But you do know when they ran out of wine, Jesus' mother, Mary, went and told him, said they've run out of wine. And Jesus said, what do I have to do with you? And Mary went and told the disciples, whatsoever he says to you, do it. And Jesus said unto them in verse 7, fill all the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now. And go and give unto the governor. And the governor received the so-called, the supposed water, which has now been turned wine, and he took a sip of this water, and he went, this is good. This is good. And the man couldn't help himself. He said, wow. Every man at the beginning, they set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then they bring out that which is worse. He said, but you kept the best wine. That one good wine you see there is actually the best wine. You kept the best wine until, because nobody serves bad wine in weddings. So what you see there, where it's characterized as the good wine, is the best wine. You have kept the best wine until now. The best wine. The Lord told me very clearly, say to my people, I have the best wine for them. Amen. Jesus has the best wine for you. The best of the best. He wants to give you the best of the land. Even from Old Testament time, we heard about covenant today. When he promised them, he said, a land flowing with milk and honey. Where you would dwell in houses you didn't build. Houses. Houses. Plural. Plural. He says, you will eat bread without scarcity. See, your pantry will never be empty, he said. Amen. You will enjoy the best of that. This is in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it gets better than best. So the Lord put in my spirit just for today to declare to his people, God has the best for you. If you were ever in doubt of that, I'm a messenger telling you his message this morning. God has the best for you. The best wine, the best miracles, amen. The best destiny, amen. The best life possible. And that's what you will enjoy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So just remember now, plug in Matthew 21, 21, 22 and tie it to all these confessions. Because in that verse 22, it says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask, all things, which includes the best wine, the best life, the best land, the best miracles, the best destiny, all things, whatsoever you shall ask, believing in prayer, you shall receive. Amen. You shall receive. Somebody say, the best wine is mine. Say it again, the best wine is mine. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right. Let's get into our teaching today. We have been learning for a few weeks about the predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. the predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. And for about a couple of weeks, we spent time talking about one of these aspects of purpose, which is playing our part, paying our vows, and supporting the kingdom of God and all of that with our resources and our material benefits. And we've done that for about 2-3 weeks now, 2-3 different sessions, and I'm going to wrap. Actually, that's already wrapped up. I just need to mention something briefly about God's reward system, which I touched on very briefly last Sunday as I was closing that service, talking about Abraham, when the Lord said to him, I want you to take your son, and he said to him, your son whom you love. The Lord actually reminded him, God already knew he loved, Abraham knew he loved the son, but the Lord reminded him, whom you love. Because the Lord wanted to make sure nothing is too precious to give to him. Nothing is too precious. One of the notes I didn't read out last week in this area, in this regard, something that stood out very strongly to me, but I didn't get to it last week, but I think I can read that out to you today. Hopefully I can find it. Talks about a lot of times believers asking God for his best, but not being willing to share their best with him. And that, a lot of times, for many of us, is the missing link to enjoying the best that God has for us. I have to find it. Help me find it, Holy Spirit. I have to find it. That is the key to being able to enjoy God's best. You notice that the moment Abraham finally let it go, and Abraham said, Lord, yeah, you can have my son, which is the most precious thing in my life. And the Lord said to him, well, I didn't want your son to start with. I just wanted to see if you were willing to share him with me. Now that you have shown you are willing to share your best with me, now you qualify for my best. So notice, the Lord has his best prepared for his children, but there is a catch. We must be willing. Let me read this out to you. I think I find it here. So many people easily ask God for his best, but they are never willing to give him their best. And I'm going to read one last scripture under this particular part of it before I move on. God already gave us his best in Jesus. Notice, in heaven, before redemption, God could have sacrificed an angel. He could have sacrificed some other precious gift. No, he gave up Jesus. To the point where on the cross, he had to look away. He had to look away when the Lord was making that ultimate sacrifice. The Lord, the Father, gave us his best in Jesus. Now, if we give him our best always, if we give him our best always, we qualify for more of his best. If we don't, we go out empty. Not only in this life, but in the afterlife. I'll talk to you a little bit about the afterlife today. Now, so this is very important. This is very significant. The Lord already gave us Jesus. That was his best. That's his best. He gave us Jesus. Now, if we constantly give the Lord our best in every situation, mind you, we're not just talking about money here. We're not just talking about your material possessions here. Yeah, those are important. That's what we're talking about as far as resources. But giving the Lord your best is an act of, that's fulfilling your part of this covenant. You give him your best time, You give him your best energy. How many people do I know who say to me, you know, who have said to me over the years, oh, pastor, you know, I'm gonna serve the Lord. I'm gonna give him everything. But, you know, I've got to do this for them. When I'm ready to retire, then I will really give the Lord everything. I said, no, you can't do that. You can't afford to do that. Because if you wait until all these precious pursuits of yours no longer exist, and then that's when you say you give the Lord your energy, it's not as precious. It's not as precious. The Lord doesn't want the last. He wants the best. He doesn't want the last. He wants the best. Our time, our energy, our resources, if you want to give anything to the Lord, give the best. Train yourself to give him the best. And when you do, you always qualify for more of his best. Now, if we don't, we go out empty. Remember, more of God's best. When we talk about God's best, folks, it's not just in eternity. There's a section of believers, cross-section of believers, who say, you know, yeah, we're just living for heaven and all this life, nothing in this life, you know, nothing, no, we don't have anything, we don't own anything, we just live like pilgrims. Yes, we do live like pilgrims through this earth, but we own why we're here. God himself said he wants to bless you here. The blessing of the Lord that he promises us is not just for eternity. We have eternal blessings, but while we are here, he said he wants to bless you. Last week, the Lord was challenging us about upgrading. He said, I want you to upgrade here, not in heaven, here. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of the scriptures I didn't get to last week is the last one I'm going to read on the concept, on the subject of fulfilling your purpose by giving of your finances, paying your debts and obligations, your vows, and giving the Lord out of love and out of thanksgiving and gratitude and all of that. That one last scripture I was going to read, it was actually a description of his reward system. God's reward system. And I want you to look at that scripture with me in Mark chapter 10. It's the last scripture I'm going to read under this aspect of paying, supporting the kingdom of God and with our resources and our finances. This is really crucial. And I want to emphasize something here to you today. If you've ever thought serving God only yields dividends in heaven, you are wrong. Serving God is the best and the greatest investment any human being can make, both in this life and in the life to come. The reward covered in God's reward system is not just for when you die and you go to heaven. No, no, no. There are rewards here for you. Here, right here. Somebody say right here. Say right here. The rewards that God has for you are not just after you die. Some say, well, I've served the Lord all my life. I've given up everything to him. Now let me go to heaven and win my reward. Yes, get your reward there. Your reward is waiting there. But there's some reward for you here. There's some reward. God does not owe any man. There is reward for you here. And I have a word just in this section before I move on to my next thing that I really want to spend some time on opening up today. I want to challenge you. Get what the Lord has for you. Get your reward. Yeah. Get every part of your... The good life is your reward. Amen. The best wine, that's your reward. Amen. A good life. A joyful, happy life. Amen. A life full of prosperity and peace. And rest on every side. Amen. A life of promotion. Amen. A life of blessing. A life of glory. Amen. He has it for you here. Amen. Here in the land of the living. Yes. You heard what that psalmist said? I would have fainted unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's talking right here, right here. That I will see. Psalm 24, I think that is. I'm not sure if that's verse 13. I will see the good. Sorry, Psalm 27, I think it is. I'm not sure if it's verse 13. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What verse is it? I would see, is it? 13, thank you. I have fainted unless I had believed to see. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness. No, no, no. The goodness of the Lord is waiting in heaven. Yes, I know that. But in this land of the living, before I pass on, I will see reward. I will see benefits. I will see dividends. I will see increase. I will see prosperity. Not only for me, but for me, my children, my children's children, my children's children's children, generations after rewards and dividends. Right here. Right here. That's God's best. If you get anything less than that, you didn't get the best. If all you got was in heaven, just what you get in heaven is not by any means meager. But when you get there, enjoy that. But while you are here, enjoy the goodness of the Lord here. All right. So in that scripture in Mark chapter 10, Peter said unto the Lord in verse 28. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, Lord, we have left all and we have followed you. Remember, he's saying to the Lord, we gave our best. We gave you everything you asked of us. We didn't hold anything back. We gave you our best, Lord. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily. Mark it when Jesus starts saying verily. Verily, I say unto you, there is no man, and you can add woman there, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother. Now, what's the Lord? Why is he listing all these things here? Because those are the most precious. Those are the most precious things in our lives. Things and people. There is no man, he said, that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels. Watch verse 30. But watch this. He shall receive 100-fold. What's the next word? Now, not in heaven. Not in heaven. There's so many believers who say, well, I serve the Lord, I gave the Lord, you know, but and I know my reward is in heaven. Don't leave the one here. Don't leave the one here. You have reward here. God has reward here. I'm reading it out to you from the word. It's in red. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. I didn't write this. He shall receive 100-fold now. And he said, in this time, meaning in this world. And what shall he receive? Notice, houses. Not house. Not singular. Houses. Some house will be residential. Some house will be investment. Some house will be later life. Some house will be rest house. Some house will be... It is houses. Houses, plural. And brethren. And sisters. And mothers. And children. And lands with persecution. Don't forget persecution. That's bound to come too. Don't leave that out. You'll be persecuted. And in the world to come, what? Eternal life. In the world to come, eternal life. So, let's receive this as the Lord has given it to us this morning. His reward system involves you sharing your best with the Lord. Don't forget this, saints, please. Please. There's no accountant greater than God. Those of you who file your taxes with accountants, or you know, you give them your books, your documents, and all your whatever, they look, they see it. But let me tell you, there are some things accountants can't see in your books. There are some things accountants can't see, but God sees it all. He is the greatest accountant. And when you stand boldly and say, I gave God my best, my friends, you cannot go out empty. Amen. You will not go out without that reward. Amen. You will not go out without that reward. Yes, if you can boldly say, I want to take a step and lead you on in faith this morning so that I give you permission, and many other people can do the same thing. I want you to boldly say, like, I'm going to boldly say, standing on the pulpit, preaching the word of God this morning, I'm going to boldly say to you, I have given God my best. I have given for years and years, and I will not stop. I will continue to give him my best. He has my best resources. He has my best life. He has my best. And I know many of you listening to me today, including many of you sitting down here, will boldly say the same thing. I gave God my best. I gave God my best. And I'm still giving God my best. So then what do you qualify for? God's best. God's best. I didn't go like Cain to find the animal that I couldn't sell in the market. Or find the crops that would not give me the highest profit and say, well, God should be happy with that and give him. No, I didn't do that. Like Abel, I went and looked for Fluffy. Fluffy is the best in my flock. I say, God, you deserve nothing less than the best that I have, which is Fluffy. Lord, you can have Fluffy. Here you go, Lord. Fluffy is all yours. Fluffy is all yours. And the Lord said, okay, thank you, son. I take your Fluffy. Now you take my Fluffy. And I tell you, folks, God's Fluffy is better than any Fluffy that you have ever seen on this earth. God's Fluffy is incomparable. God's Fluffy, you cannot surpass it. God's Fluffy is higher and better than anything you can ever imagine. That's why the Bible says, eyes have not seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Ears have not heard, and it has not yet entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I'm truly amazed. We go for a few years and we look back like maybe 3 years or 4 years, and we're totally amazed at how God orchestrated certain situations and certain things, preparing for 5 years later, which we didn't know about. He was walking back there. And when we arrived 5 years later, we suddenly get Fluffy. And we say, Lord, why are you giving us Fluffy? He said, you remember 5 years ago, I asked you for your own Fluffy, and you gave him to me. Now I'm giving you my own Fluffy. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So I want you to remember as I leave this off, because a lot of times when we talk about the areas of sharing our blessings with the Lord, you know, the world makes us feel like we are now second rate, we are disadvantaged. I was on my long drive yesterday, I was listening to Reinhard Bonnke, something he shared before he went home. He talked about several years, I think maybe in the late 1999 or something, I think he was. At the time, they had moved their headquarters of their ministry back to Germany. It used to be in South Africa. And there's this guy, this old man, who was almost like a homeless man. If you saw the man looked like he didn't have anything. But Reinhard Bonnke said, constantly, the man supported their ministry. Constantly. And every time he sent something, he would say, for your missions work to reach the world, for your this to reach Africa. You know, Reinhard Bonnke was focused on Africa. That's where the Lord called him. And he said, that year, I think it was 1999, this man called him and said, you know, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to go home. The man didn't look like he had anything. And he said, I have a savings account and the Lord told me to, well, he didn't say the Lord told me, he said, it's in my heart to turn that over to world evangelization. I said, I'm getting ready to leave. I know my time is up. And everything I have left, I want to put into world global evangelization. So he said, would you come with me to the bank? It's an old man, frail. You know this man had anything. Reinhard Bonnke said, yes, I will. He went with him to the bank in Germany, I think he was. And in Frankfurt, I think he was. And they got to the bank and the man pulled out his passbook, his savings account. Reinhard Bonnke said he almost passed out when he saw how much money this man had. He could not believe it. So this man said, I saved this over the years. I'm on my way out, and I want to put it into global evangelization. He said the bank manager wouldn't let him. The bank manager was irate, was mad. Was saying, you are trying to take this poor man's money, this poor man's inheritance. Reinhard Bonnke said, no, I never asked him for anything. He called me. Saying this is what is in his heart. The bank manager could not believe it. Finally, the bank manager said, well, for your protection, the bank has a policy. We don't allow people to take everything they have and make that transfer the same day. You have to wait at the very least 4 business days. So if you make that, you take that withdrawal today, it will not leave your account for 4 days for your protection. So in case you are making a mistake, you can come back and change your mind. This man fought, he fought and argued. A frail old man on his way out. Finally, he took the bank manager, can we go into a room? Went with him into a room. And they came back out smiling after they talked for a while. The man was carrying a big bag of money. Reinhard Bonnke said, what happened? He said, yeah, I got it done. He said, how? He said, well, I just went along with their bank policy. I left 20 francs, 20 Dutch marks, I think it was, in the account for my funeral, he said. He said, I told him, we'll use that 20 whatever for my funeral. But the rest, all the several thousands and thousands and thousands that he owned there, he transferred it for global missions. Now, let me tell you something. If you hear somebody did that, the world will say, how stupid. How dumb. You could have used that to buy stocks generations after you can. Yeah, he already did. He already invested. He gave the children, the children's children, grandchildren, he gave them enough to start off. Said, now you make something out of this. But the bulk of what I have is going to the gospel. Oh, what a wise man. What a wise man. So I want you, as we close out this part of it, because every time we talk about stuff like this, you know, people are usually sad and they're usually like, there's nothing to be sad about. You are putting yourself in position to get God's best. And you see, that man did that at the very end, but you and I are not at the end right now. You and I, we are still walking. And while we are still walking, all these promises that the Lord has made for us in this earth, we will reap them all. Amen. Count it. Lands, houses, children, brethren. I mean, the Lord's best in every area of life. The Lord's best. Amen. In every area of life. So with joy, every time you have an opportunity to be a part of something the Lord is doing, whether it's some thing or the other that the Lord put in your heart, you want to be a part of it. You want to do your part in the kingdom and put in your resources with joy. With joy. With joy. With joy. And the Lord's reward system will amaze you when it begins to come. Oh, I expect good for you. Amen. I said, I expect good for you.
Amen.
Amen. I gave that too much time, much more time than I planned, but I thank God that's how that was supposed to end. All right. What are the seven ways? Let's give about 20 minutes that we have here. I want to introduce this next one. What are the seven major ways in which we fulfill purpose on earth? You should be able to help me with this now. Number one, give your life to Christ, right? Make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father, right? Number two, make Jesus your Lord and your Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life, right? Number three, find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and do what? Devote yourself to it. Number four, find God's purpose for your life's vocation and do what? Commit to it. Number five, do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you and God deem appropriate. Number six, do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. And finally, number seven, make your family and your close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. Cultivate the culture of heaven and foster love, joy, and peace and a healthy and balanced family life. These are the seven ways in which we fulfill purpose. We want to jump today to that one that talks about doing our part in preparing for the Lord's return. A lot of what we've already discussed already have alluded to this. So I don't really need to give a whole lot of time to this, but I'm still going to hit a few things that are extremely important. So I might not need more than maybe two services by God's grace for this particular one. But do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. That's one of the ways we fulfill purpose. Do your part. You have a part to play in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. He's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said he's coming. For sure he's coming. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. And under this, I just want to give you like a very brief overview of this. I want to point out very briefly, I've said already, a number of things we've already learned in this series of teachings have already talked about this. Preparing, what you do in preparing. But I want to give you five broad areas. Five major ways, five major things you can do to prepare yourself for the Lord's second coming. To prepare yourself for your eternal coming, your eternal home. To prepare yourself for that next destination that all of us have. Fulfill your purpose by playing your part, preparing for the Lord's return. You know, as believers, I got to say this to you. I'm going to try to make it as simple as ABC. Try not to be unnecessarily theoretical and irrelevant. You know, it's very easy living in this world. It's very easy to get used to the culture and the system of the world. It's so easy. It's the easiest. See, let me, living in this world and growing and becoming established in this world, what I compare it with all the time is like an immigrant who moves from one part of the world to another part of the world and get established in this new part of the world. Where they are coming from, they have a culture, they have a system, they have ways in which things work or don't work in that culture, in that system. And then they move over to a new system. And in this new system, they have to, I think the word is acclimate. Is that the word? Is that an English word? Is that correct? Acclimate? Huh? Sorry? Acculturalization. Thank you. Acculturalization. This is why I have all these people with big, you know, these people know so much grammar. Webster's has nothing on this. This is my people here. Acculturalization. Is that what it is? Acculturalization. So you have to change your mind, renew your mind, your approach to life, to the way, you know, let me give you one very good example. If where you are coming from, the country where you are coming from, if you don't have electricity, usually, let's use an example of, you know, something that happens in some nations of the world, all you need to do is find someone who can go up on the electric pole or go up to the meter somewhere and find out what's going on, and they'll just sort it out and they just connect the thing and you have power, you have electricity. When you move over to a country where everything is controlled from and the systems work, you can't go, so you have to learn. If I don't have electricity, if I don't have electricity, I don't fast and pray for 3 days, commanding light to come back. I don't go up on the pole trying to connect wires. I don't know. What do? You check. Did I pay my bill? If you did not pay, you'll be first thing. First thing, find a way to get money. Pay that bill. So once you pay your bill, then you can call customer service and say, hey, I don't have power. What's going on? They may say, oh, it's a problem in the area. You know, or they may say, oh, sorry, you got disconnected, but we'll reconnect you now that you have paid your bill, you know. So our culture, you have to get used. You come from that place where if you don't have light, you don't even think, I have to pay a bill. No, you don't pay that bill. Just find a way to get light back. Either you get it from your neighbor's house or get it somewhere. Just get light back. But now, no, it's a difference. So you have to act. You have to get used to how things work. That's the way I usually think about it. When I think about how easy it is for us as believers to get so caught up in the world system. It is so easy because it's a rat race and everybody is in the flood. Everybody is running, pursuing the same thing. Even if you never thought about life that way, even if you never wanted to pursue life that way, the moment you get into the system and you grow up, you get old enough, and you see how things get done, immediately, you want to be a part of that system. You just start thinking, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I need to get this, I have to get this, and many times, all these things that we need to get, that we'd like to get, cost money. It doesn't take long before we find out, if I really want that, you could get something, settle for something a little lower that maybe won't cost you too much. But, you know, you see everybody wants more quick, now. And in this system is a microwave culture. We all want it now. Have you noticed? Most people don't plan. Most people don't have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, a 20-year plan. Most people don't say, well, I'll start with what I have, do the best I can with it, and trust God, and hopefully in about 5 years, if I keep taking steps and I keep developing myself, keep making progress, in 5 years, then I'll be able to get a higher level, a higher quality. Most people don't think that way. Most people think, well, look at what car he's driving. I'd like to drive that kind of car now. Now. So how do you do it? You've got to devote more of your time to trying to get the resources. How do you do it? You know what? Most people get caught up in this rat race in this world where their eternal destiny completely loses significance to them. Everything about their lives revolve around the goals that they have set for themselves now. What they want to do now. Mind you, these things are not bad. They are not wrong. They are not... But the problem is... That's right. The Bible says there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. There's a time to prepare. There's a time to labor. There's a time to study. There's a time to work. There's a time to save. There's a time for everything under the sun. And the way the Lord designed our lives, if your kingdom obligation remains the most important preoccupation of your life, it stops you from getting dragged into that rat race. It stops you. There will be pressure from everywhere. There'll be pressure from family. There'll be pressure from friends. People who love us. There'll be pressure from peers. There'll be pressure from within ourselves. The pressure to measure up. The pressure, you know, you look at yourself, you want to show up in a meeting, you want to get on a conference call where people you started together with 20 years ago, everybody is talking. You want to be able to say some things. You don't want to get on that call and be embarrassed. So what do? We get in this rat race. And a lot of times, once you get in the rat race, it's an endless gulf. There's no going back. The world keeps taking and keeps taking and keeps taking. The world takes so much that, in fact, you may not have the time. I'm not talking about just eternal things, preparing yourself for your eternal destiny. I'm talking about even things that are of value to you today. Like every parent, she wants to raise their kids right. And raising kids right in this society, I remember we used to tell our children when they were much younger, you know, we didn't have family help. But pastors and pastoring a young congregation and had to be, I mean, I don't remember any games that our children were, you know, because the same day that we had midweek Bible study was, and back then nothing was virtual, everything was in person. Same days we had that was the same day they had, you know, either it was marching band or they had to travel for something, sports or something. And so a lot of times we just cut off all this. We couldn't do it. We just couldn't keep up. But when we look back today, we keep talking about this a lot. We say, do you have any regrets? No. No regrets. And then we ask those ones that are now adults, grown up, and we say, do you have any regrets? No! But you see, in the moment, they felt like they were missing out. We felt like we were taking away something important from them. And what was missing was we were not in that rat race. We prioritized the assignment God gave us. Hallelujah! And so then, there's no grounds for talking about what have you amassed, what have you not. There's no grounds for it. You can't show up in a conference, yeah, and people say, how far have you gone in your, whatever. There's no conversation because we have devoted ourselves to this calling. Guess what though? We know. We've always known. If you give God your best, what will God do? He has to give you his best. Ultimately, what most people don't realize is not jumping in the rat race does not cost you the best of life. It doesn't cost you, but in the moment, that's how we all feel. So to the point where we are willing to give up the things that are most important to us. I mean, if you are raising little children, you might need to find a way, you know, earn a little less. So you can raise those children right in this society. So you can be proper examples to them. So you can be there to spend time. You can't spend time with children based on appointment. But this is when mom comes into my room. This is when dad meets me at the dining table. No! It's a lifeline, and it's going to cost something, but guess what? If you keep doing it right, you will reap a harvest. Amen. This is exactly how eternal things work. If you keep doing it right, because all of us have a calling, all of us have a ministry, all of us have other things that are of value that the Lord has called us. So we cannot work 15 hours a day. You can't. You can't take two jobs, work one 8 hours, work another one 7 hours, and then the last 7 hours that you have, 3 of those hours, you have to read, prepare for school. The last 4 hours, you don't have a life anymore. There's no life. We can't live like that. If you live like that, you will lose something. Actually, let me put it to you this way. You will not lose something. You will lose many good, valuable things. And you won't be able to take them back. Oh, how many families have I sat with? How many people have I sat around weeping with tears in their eyes, telling me they wish they did it differently? They wish they approached it differently. We all face those same pressures. It's just a question of deciding what is really important now and what is not. If right now, what we need to do is buy secondhand clothes, and I'm going to tell you for many years, of course, we had to do that. I have no regrets whatsoever. Now, I'm not sure some of my children may have regrets. My wife may have some regrets because she had to wear some secondhand clothes. But I'm telling you, I have no regrets. Because guess what? When you look at them today, there is no mark on their lives that they ever wore secondhand clothes. There is no mark. Where is the regret? I don't regret it. So, I need just one more service to finish this. I want to give you 5 areas. If you are focused on the Lord's coming, your eternal destination, this is very important. I'm giving you a very solid foundation here. You have to be willing to take on a mindset of the kingdom of God, and you have to be willing to take off the mindset of the world in which we're living. You have to be willing to do that. You can't allow people to be, you know, people, they judge you like, well, in some cultures, you know, how good of a man you are is determined by what kind of a car you bought for your wife, or what kind of a house you got for your family, and what kind of, you can't, that's the world's way of thinking. You cannot, somebody tells you, we're marking, they invite you, you know, we're celebrating, I just bought my wife a new Mercedes Benz. I just got my a new Jaguar. Good for you. Good for you if the Lord bless you so much. But we can't afford to compare ourselves.
If you are not in a place where you can buy that Jaguar, if you are not in a place where you can buy the Mercedes Benz, keep doing what you are doing. Amen. Stay focused. Keep your priorities right. Yes. At the end of the day, God is the accountant who is marking. He's the teacher. Amen. He's the professor. Yes. It's not the world. There are people who are up today. They may be down tomorrow. And there are people who are down today, may be up tomorrow. So, having a new mind, a mindset of the kingdom of God, focusing on what is really important. You know that scripture, I think it's 1 John chapter 2, I'm not sure if it's verse 14, verse 17. He says, you know, heaven and earth, I think he says something like that, you know, the world and all that he has will pass away. He says, but the man that does the will of God will abide forever. I'm not sure what scripture that is. Is that verse 17? Thank you. 1 John 2:17. The world will pass away and the lust thereof. What is calling the lust thereof is all these things that we think are important in the world. They're temporary. They're all temporary. Everything is temporary. Think about it. In our nation, in the United States of America, I mean, even this gun pandemic, do you know how many people are dying every single day? They are not dying out of poverty. Many people are dying out of poverty, but that's not really what's taking most people out now. I mean, God forbid, people are driving on the streets, they die. People are in FedEx mailing something, they die. So some crazy person gets a gun and shoots, goes into churches, and I mean, people just die. Think about it. Life is fleeting. Everything is temporary. We cannot afford to live like this is our eternal home. It's not. It's not our eternal home. So one of the ways in which we fulfill purpose is by preparing for that eternal destiny. My time is up. We'll have to pick it up from here next week by God's grace. He will help us. One of the ways we fulfill purpose in life is doing our part to prepare for the Lord's coming. Preparing for our eternal destination. Don't get caught up in the rat race. Don't get into this competitive comparison that people are into. How much is your car? How much is your house? What kind of school did your child go to? What kind? Don't get into it. If the Lord blesses you with something there and you have that, praise God. Glory to God. I love that. I love the blessings. But celebrate what the Lord has given you. Be thankful for where you are. And live a balanced life. Prioritize your eternal destination. Think every moment. Every moment. You know, Jesus said in one of those scriptures in Matthew, we read it next week, lay not up treasure, he says. Lay not up treasure where, he says, moths and rust can destroy. You know, this hasn't happened in a while because I think government has put a lot of regulations now, I think, you know, and things like that. So, you know, but I think something like this even happened last year where there was this particular stock. I can't remember. Robin Hood or what was this, thing that exploded? Everybody, people were borrowing money just to buy this stock. The thing was exploding and suddenly the bubble burst. Now things like that haven't happened in a while just because of a lot of regulations out there. But even those things show us how temporary the things of life really are. Something of value today. I mean, think about it. The best car you invest in and you buy, you know, in a few years, especially if you drive in winter in snow places like Northeast Ohio, I mean, rust. I mean, we have one van that has gone all over the world. All over the world. And has served, praise God. Has served our family, served the ministry, served and does. But, you know, sometimes I pass by that van and I see all the rust on it. And I think, wow, there was a time this van was like egg. It was so precious. I mean, today now, if I see a squirrel jump on the van and do their business on it, I don't even care. I just keep going. I don't, nothing. It's because it's temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. And we have to change our minds, renew our minds to think that way and prepare ourselves for our eternal destination. I know the Lord will help us. Did you get something today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.